Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We're continuing on in a message entitled, And He Brought Him to Jesus. And this refers to an incident expressed in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and it's referring to two of the disciples of John the Baptist. I started to read it on yesterday's broadcast, and let's go back to that point right now. And let me start in verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, they were with him, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And when these two disciples heard him speak, they followed Jesus. So Jesus turned around, and paraphrasing verse 38, he says, what do you want, or what do you seek? What seek ye? And they asked, Where do you live, Lord? And where dwellest thou, King James says. And he saith unto them, Come and see. Well, can you just see a smile on his face? Well, come and see where I live. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, or 2 hours before evening. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother. That's what he did. He findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought who? He brought his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, when, of course, the first thing when Jesus sees him, he says, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The rock, Peter, praise God. So he had a name change. God had plans for him. But the point is, we sometimes fail to see the important significance of Andrew's obedience to the Lord. He was obviously very excited with this wonderful discovery they had made, he and his other friend. And so he wanted his brother Peter to know about it. And so he was excited, and of course, the second thing he did after he found Jesus is he went straight home to do his first work for Jesus, and that is, we find that, of course, he had a brother, his name was Simon, and he had a difficult case. As we learn to grow and understand and love this irascible fellow, he was rash, he was headstrong, he was impulsive. He was the only one that had the faith to actually come out. He said, Lord, if that's you, he actually walked on the water, right? So often we say, well, look at his faith failed and he sunk in the water, but he was the only one that actually got out of the boat. So it was, you know, it seems by comparison, Andrew was sort of a relative weakling compared to his strong brother, Peter, Simon. But he was determined to bring his brother to Jesus. And there's another point I'd like to make about Andrew. Andrew's acts mark clearly for us the place and power of personal work in the winning of the lost to Christ. Now, is it possible Peter might have run into the Lord at some other point in time? Possibly. If we disobey the Lord, God has ways of still fulfilling his will. And sometimes if we don't respond in obedience, then he'll choose someone else who's willing, perhaps. And so we all have a place and a privilege, if you will, to work personally in the vineyard of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has called us friends, has he not? So, beloved, Jesus is depending on us, his friends, to make known his gospel to a dying and unbelieving world. Think of it, beloved. Jesus is dependent on us, his friends to tell the world about him. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. He dwells in you as a believer, and he quickens you so you can receive that Holy Spirit of boldness, and you are, or certainly should be, a powerhouse for God. Let me just share some passages of Scripture that will basically cement what I'm sharing, although if we had no other scripture except what Jesus' words, that is plenty sufficient. But in Proverbs 11:30, the word says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Daniel 12:3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Luke 12:12 says, "For the Holy Ghost," this is important, "for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Whatever situation you will find yourself in, it's the Holy Ghost that will give you the words. Isaiah 50:4, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." That's a beautiful prayer for each of us, isn't that right? "He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned." So being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to hear his leading, then we will have the tongue of the learned, because Jesus' response, he had the Holy Spirit upon him. He would dumbfound those who would want to catch him in his words. that it was brilliant. Remember, he was shown the Roman coin, and they showed, "Well, should we pay taxes or shouldn't we? I mean, how are you going to get out of that?" Amazingly, they just couldn't even answer. He said, "Whose inscription is that on the coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And so he just says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." What brilliance! See, the Holy Spirit can give you that kind of wisdom. He can. He gave it to Stephen. Remember, the first martyr of the church, when he was being accused. And in Jeremiah 5:14, a couple more scriptures, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them," just as fire does a piece of wood. Hallelujah. And then Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Praise God. And, you know, some of the greatest sermons that Jesus ever preached was to one person. Think about that just for a moment. He had multitudes follow him. He preached, and they wouldn't depart for, remember the case of the loaves and fishes, for 3 days, and he had compassion on them because they hadn't had anything to eat for 3 days. So he, wouldn't that be the most advantageous way to spend his time? Get a good crowd so you can minister to as many people as you can with the word of life. Well, he spent a great deal of time and energy and focus sometimes just with one person. What's a classic example? We can go to the book of John again, the Gospel of John, and in the 4th chapter, Jesus made the directive that they were to go not into Galilee, but they would go through Samaria. And when they did that, it was around noontime, and he was weary, and the disciples went to get food in the city, and he sat by the well. And in verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me drink." And of course, I'm skipping down to verse 9. The woman said, she was shocked, because how is it? You're a Jew, and you're asking water of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus, verse 10, answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." What an amazing story. He keeps pulling her in, and she's looking, thinking naturally, "Well, Lord, you don't have anything to draw water from. The well's deep. How are you going to give me living water?" And she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well and drank of it, and his children and his generations after? And he said, well, this water, you'll be thirsty again, but the water I give, you will never thirst. And then he goes on, and he says, call your husband and come hither. And she said, truthfully, she said, I have no husband. Of course, the word of knowledge to the Holy Spirit, he says, thou hast well said, you've had five husbands, and who you're living with now is not your husband. And then she says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Anyway, he goes on, and the woman, as he talks, she, in verse 25, she said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus spoke plainly. He saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He invested that time with one woman. But what were the results? She got so excited, she went back, and there was revival in Samaria. They actually compelled them to stay 2 days there because she said, you've got to hear this man. He told me everything I ever did. And you see, we never know the effect. This was Jesus, but it makes no difference how one person could be so impacted by the gospel that there is a chain reaction where many people are affected. So don't feel that you're just one person and, you know, what you're doing isn't that significant. Don't even go there. Only God knows what your obedience, the fruit that it will bear. Praise God. The important thing is you just need to obey what God wants you to do and leave the results, the consequences to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, there's a couple more passages of Scripture, but we'll hold off on that till tomorrow, and then we'll see what God has for us. I thank you so much for joining me. I thank you for your prayers, and I want you to know I do pray for you every day, my UCM partners and my radio family, that we all become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we'll mature. Oh, every good thing. I am so stirred in my heart and spirit that you receive not only God's best, but that you will move in that calling, that anointing, and be the real person of God that He's called you to be. The devil does anything and the world does everything to keep us down, but God, who sees who you are, you may not be impressive to look upon on the outside, but God knows the spiritual stature that He's called you to inside. You are a child of God. I love you. I thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. Please do write. I'd love to hear from you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,